Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, thanks for tuning in to the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm pleased to be joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Childs from the Racing Post, as well as Paddy Power's Emmett O'Keefe. We're looking ahead to another great weekend in the Premier League. Also got the best bets from the lower divisions and right across Europe. We will start off, though, with the six questions the lads get to each and then get to answer the one they wish they had been asked. We'll start with you, Dan. We've got two Spurs fans, so this might be the one that Mark takes. But the question for you, Dan, is Harry Kane's injury, yep, is it a disaster for Tottenham or is it manageable? Are you panicking or are you calm?
I'm going to give the diplomatic answer and say somewhere in between the two. I don't think it's a total disaster, but the problem is when he's been out in the past, Heung-min Son has been the key to pulling up the slack, if you like. He's gone in there, got the goals, and obviously with him being away at the Asia Cup, it makes it more difficult. I don't think it's insurmountable. There's a few little ways that Spurs could go. Lucas Moura could play through the middle. Dele Alli as well. I mean, nobody's really mentioned this, but he could play as kind of like a false nine. He's got some pace, physicality, good in the air.
Could he play as a genuine nine?
Not as a genuine nine, but if you're looking to try and muddle through, and there are players that can take his position, you know, deeper. Lamella hasn't been playing very regularly. He can come in. And Llorente, I don't think is as bad as everybody's sort of suggesting. I mean, I've actually, watching Spurs, I've been keen on him to come on a little bit earlier in some games. Even the Manchester United game, where those Spurs were playing well, I felt that with him sitting deeper, that it could have done with him coming on earlier. I thought when he did come on, it caused Manchester United problems. He holds it up well, he's got a nice touch, and he is a pretty good finisher as well. So
with those various options, what do you think Poch will do?
I think it will probably be Llorente, but it might be a combination. There might be some games he tries Lucas Moura through the middle and maybe the Dele Alli option, as I mentioned.
Just talk us through what it actually means in terms of games missed, Dan.
Well, it all depends.
You can jump in and help out, Mark.
Well,
Kane is...
depends on... Sorry,
yeah.
Let's just say Kane's back 1st of March. He's back in training and then he's back for...
Well, he'll miss the potential League Cup final, won't he?
And the semi,
yeah, obviously against Chelsea. There's the first leg against Borussia Dortmund. He'll definitely miss. In terms of league games that they've got, obviously this one this weekend against Fulham. They've got Watford just after the Crystal Palace Cup tie. And then it's Newcastle at Wembley. But it all depends, I suppose, on when South Korea get knocked out of the Asia Cup. So
I've been going through the draw with a fine-tooth comb, to be honest. You know, if he goes out in the quarters, he could be back for Watford. That was what I was kind of working out.
Are they jollies for the Asia Cup?
No, I mean, they've got an easy last 16 games. They're playing a team that finished third. And then it's either, I think it's Saudi Arabia or Qatar in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
when's that start? When are we previewing?
Oh, no, we've been putting the prices in. We're going to preview at the knockout stage. It's really minor rubbish at the moment. Once they get to the last 16, it sort of livens up. I mean, the fact that Son didn't go out there for the first few games tells you.
I saw it was Iran v Iraq yesterday. I went on to try and buy the bookings, but they weren't offering it. Mark Langdon, VAR, what is it good for? Are you a fan? Do you hate it? Do you think it's got a future?
So what I do like it for is red cards that maybe the referees missed. You know, them shocking tackles that everybody that's seen it once on the replay can tell that it's a red, and the referee, because he's got a different view of it, maybe gives a yellow or doesn't even see it. Those can be punished, and I've seen them punished quite well.
We had one in the cup game against
Grimsby. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that a good example of one where it did work, and that was a really bad tackle that if the referee had seen it, he would have given a red card. Where it doesn't work well is these tightest of tightest offside calls, because the problem, everybody goes on about clear and obvious. There's no such thing in offside as clear and obvious. You're either offside or you're not offside. But like whether your toenail is offside or not, I mean, it is just, it's ridiculous. And we had that scene before the semi-final when Chelsea tried to show evidence that he was offside. Other evidence said he wasn't. I mean, you know, how you can get the exact right frame of when the ball is kicked to when everything is frozen. You know, it's really difficult. I think you said, I saw you on Twitter, Bruce, say it's not the old Bailey to somebody, you know.
This is it. People go, oh, you know, you need justice. It's sport. It's not.
So, I mean, you know, the tiniest of fractions of whether somebody's offside or onside, I don't think works well. But like I say, if there's a really bad tackle, it does.
Okay. Emmett, it's Man City or Liverpool for the title, but which of those teams would the betting industry least like to see emerge as champions?
Definitely Liverpool. Liverpool traditionally, I would say, would be more well-backed than any other team in the league by their own supporters, and that's certainly reflected this year. They'd be a much bigger loser for us than Man City.
And would they both be losers, or have you managed to keep Man City on side?
I think Man City will be a winner at this point.
Okay, and who do you want to win it? No, not who do you want to win. I've just asked you that. Who do you think will win it, Emmett?
I think Liverpool will do it. I think it's I think they're just such a solid team. My only concern would be towards the end of the season. I think the fact that they're a little bit short of creativity in midfield. And just if, say, towards the end of the season, if it's 60 minutes gone at home and they're struggling to break down a team, that possibly could cause them to come unstuck. But it's hard to see them losing games at this point.
And as a Man U fan, who do you want to win?
I'm torn here because I find this Liverpool side quite likeable. I'm a big fan of Klopp, and there's not too many players I'd really dislike in the Liverpool team. Maybe
no,
a lot of them.
That's right. They are. They're quite short. Yeah. Of complete tossers, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. But I'd still probably want City to win it, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, Dan, who is going down? I'll just quickly spin through Paddy Power's prices: 1-20 Huddersfield, 2-5 Fulham, 8-13 Cardiff, 13-10 Burnley, 21 or 23-10, can't check my writing, Newcastle, and it's 10 bar, so it's looking like the old classic Lee Dixon. Yeah. He always used to love it's any X from X. It's any 3 from 5, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Southampton are getting kind of left out of it. I mean, points-wise, they are still only 1 point above the bottom three, but I do agree they are playing a lot better now and probably will get out of it. But I think I've got a feeling, I was sort of saying to you the other day, I think Fulham still might get out of it. I think Huddersfield are clearly gone after failing to beat Cardiff, but that game as well told you a lot about Cardiff. I mean, that's a game, if you're looking for the rest of the season, Cardiff, so many points you've got to get. You're at home to Huddersfield, and really, they were holding on for a draw. Huddersfield dominated the game. That would make me really worry for Cardiff. I think they'll go. And I just feel that I think Fulham have still got the quality to put a run of wins together at some stage. They've got the ability up front. They are starting to improve a little bit at the back. I mean, they gave away 2 own goals at Burnley. They did keep a clean sheet at home to Huddersfield and away to Newcastle. So there's a few little signs of improvement there. And I just think Newcastle could be vulnerable. Everybody's saying Benitez will keep them up, but there's a real lack of quality offensively in that side. And, you know, at the end of the day, you need to win games, not just draw them. And I still think they could be in trouble.
So your 3 are Huddersfield, Cardiff and Newcastle,
yeah,
are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, I mean, you've done 3-hour TalkSport phone-ins about this and Guardian postcasts. So, you know, talking about every minute bit. But just summarise in a nutshell, what's been the most interesting thing to happen in the transfer window so far?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it could happen really with Higuain. If it,
does that excite you, that one?
It excites me to the point where I'm really interested to see whether he can cut it in England, because not because the Premier League's any different, but it's just because he's been in Italy now for so long, and if he comes to Chelsea, he arrives as a bit of a failure really at Milan. He hasn't been scoring goals for them. He did for Juventus and previously at Napoli. There's always been a question mark as to whether he's the elite striker that some people say he is and some people say he isn't. And, you know, he missed a really good chance in the World Cup final at 0-0 against, nearly called him West Germany. he missed that the chance against Germany. And Sarri has pushed so hard for him because Chelsea don't want to sign 31-year-olds that are past their best, and you know. And
well, they've been there with Crespo and Shevchenko.
they have. You have a look at sort of the more modern way of looking at it. You know, even somebody like Frank Lampard. He went to America, then to Manchester City. They don't like giving out. John Terry didn't finish out his career at Chelsea either. He went to Aston Villa. So they are keen, I think, to kind of freshen up their team. And Sarri has pushed so hard for a striker. And I just wonder if we will see the best of Chelsea if they get somebody up front. So that's one that really excites me.
What do you think now? If say they get him, will he I think a cross or a fence?
I think he gets them top four.
Yeah?
Okay. I do. Because it's the one thing that they've lacked.
And what about one lower down division, Mark? Maybe a team that could be transformed by a clever bit of business that hasn't really hit the headlines?
Well, I think that in terms of that, I mean, Preston have signed quite a few players from lower down the leagues. You think of Stockley came in from Exeter. They brought another one in from Walsall. I'm not sure that that's the right way to do
their
things.
Points.
Yeah, I know, but I think it can take some time. Do you know what I quite liked? Ipswich, James Collins. I think that they've lacked. Quality, and now all season long, that they were another team, a bit like Preston, did all their shopping in League One and League Two, and then you end up wondering why you got a League One and League Two team because you bought players from League One and League Two. So I think that's quite an interesting. I think Ipswich will go down, but I think Collins is a good signing. A lot of West Ham fans were disappointed that he left in the summer and felt he could still do a job in the Premier League. So that might be one.
We've had a couple of players off West Ham in Tomkins and Coyote. They've been absolutely superb buys. Brilliant, brilliant buys. Emmett, question for you. Man United, they're your beloved team. To what extent do you think things have changed? Just give us a kind of snapshot of how you think Man U have changed since Mourinho was replaced by Solskjaer. Is it very minor? Is the jury still out on whether it's going to be beneficial? Or do you really see clear signs of a recovery, both in terms of the philosophy and the potential to get the best out of a team that was underperforming?
I think there's clear signs of change. I think, like, tactically, as has been well documented, playing Paul Pogba in a freer role with Herrera and Matic sitting has obviously, and like kind of backing him to the hilt, has really unleashed him as a player. You're starting to see the player that every Man United fan thought they were getting when they signed him a couple of years ago. And also, I think it's hard to get world-class players. And I think if Mourinho had stayed there for much longer, Pogba would have seriously pushed for a move. If he finishes the season strong, I think there's a reasonable chance he might stay now. And the same would apply to David De Gea and Martial maybe as well. And then the other thing is obviously Marcus Rashford, backing him as the first choice striker, and he just looks a completely different player than he was under Mourinho. He was in and out of the team. His performances were much more inconsistent. But like with him in the team instead of Lukaku, it's kind of... It's unlocked kind of a link and kind of team play that wasn't happening under Mourinho.
Excellent. Have you got eyes on the top four again?
Very much so. I think if the Higuain sign didn't work out, like I personally think things, there might be a little bit of trouble ahead of Chelsea. Like I think the Jorginho signing actually hasn't worked out that well at all. And I think they're struggling to break teams down. With playing Hazard as the false nine is not really working, and like I think Arsenal are in real trouble. Like that back three of Mustafi, Socrates and Koscielny isn't fit for purpose at all. I think it's a terrible sign for them as a club. But with the defence they have, that their only loan signings seem to be available. They're not willing to spend any money. So I think there's an opportunity there for United, for sure.
Excellent. It's going to be interesting. If you want to take that last question, don't ask me to repeat it. It went on longer than one of Alan Brazil's. So which one are you going to have, Dan?
I'll take the United one. I'll take a bit of a different view. I know it's silly. It sounds crazy to argue against six wins in a row, but I still stand by the fact that the first five games, they're playing against four of the bottom six. The other game was at home to Bournemouth for one of the most out of form sides in the league at the moment. I think it's something like 11 defeats in 14. And then there's a Spurs game. We all said, oh, this is going to be the game. And yeah, they've won it, OK? But look at the actual game. I mean, I think Spurs, it was a record for the Premier League this season, the amount of shots on target. they had. Now you could argue that De Gea's had a great game, or that Spurs' finishing wasn't great.
Both are true.
All the shots were seemed to be central to the goal. Now, that's just a bit of a quirk, really. I mean, to argue that, you know, suddenly they're defending fantastically, you're not defending great if you're facing the highest amount of second half shots in the league this season. So, you know, they played a bit better first half, but it was counter attack football, really. Almost, you could say, reminiscent of Mourinho's tactics, you know, sitting and looking to counter. Now, what I would say, clearly they're playing with more confidence, which you get from a run of wins, and the fact that some players clearly hated Mourinho, Pogba, you know, number one, and they're playing now as if there's a weight off their shoulders. So there's definitely an element there. But in terms of tactics, and are they suddenly this brilliant team that's going to definitely finish top four, I'd have to say wait and see. And I'd be surprised if they did make the top four.
OK, Mark?
I'd keep on the United theme. I think the one thing that we've noticed differently, I think that was maybe the question how it started out. Like, what's he done? What's Solskjaer done differently?
It's a bit of a Swiss Army knife question.
What has Solskjaer done differently? I think he's added pace. Now, whether that comes from desire of the players actually wanting to run and to sprint, but the fluidity of that front, it was free, wasn't it? Because Lingard sort of played up front and then dropped in, and you saw Martial and Rashford playing in between the Tottenham centre-halves and full-backs. But they played with pace. When it was counter-attack, it wasn't this sort of slow pedestrian stuff that we saw so often under Mourinho. There was a directness to get up there, and Pogba got up in support, and Herrera sometimes did. You know, they were getting people in the box, and you'd seen like the Lukaku, Fellaini, players like that just can't run as quick as those other ones. And the team, I felt, was just too slow. So you can't solve the defensive issues without buying players, because I don't think the defence is good enough. But at least they're attacking with intent when they go forward. And I think that's been the big difference.
So where will they finish, Mark?
I think they'll finish fifth.
Fifth. OK, well done, lads. Thank you very much. Oh, no, Ian. Emmett, rather. Which one are you going to answer?
Answer the Tottenham question. Just on Dele Alli, I personally think he can be a world-class striker. I think when he plays as kind of a number 10 or a link player, I don't think he gets enough touches of the ball to justify playing there. Whenever I've seen him play up front for Tottenham, he's really impressed me. He's a really good eye for a goal around the box.
He's brave in the air as well, isn't he?
He's superb in the air, superb in the air. So I think he's changed agent in the last year or so, and there were some suggestions that he might want out of Tottenham. I think if he did leave Tottenham, I think it would be to go somewhere he could play as a striker.
OK, chaps, thanks very much indeed. Let's move on to the weekend previews. We'll start with the 12:30 Saturday game. Wolves versus Leicester, Midlands derby at Molineux. Live on Sky, and how do Paddy Power bet?
Wolves 13-10, the draw 21-10, Leicester 12-5.
These are two really, really difficult teams to call, Mark. What are your thoughts?
They're really two difficult teams to call.
Leicester is a pin job, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose from Leicester's point of view, it's whether the players are still playing for Puel, or whether, you know, there's sort of a Mourinho situation going on, albeit at a lower level.
Or indeed a Ranieri situation.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because it happened at Southampton with Puel as well. I mean, results were quite good. I'm going to go for the draw, just because, you know, Wolves have actually only won one of the last five in the Premier League. That was a brilliant win away at Tottenham, but they probably caught Tottenham at a good time. They were pretty knackered by having to play the same players all throughout Christmas. Leicester are inconsistent, but maybe this is the type of game that actually they enjoy, rather than playing at home to a Southampton or a Cardiff, because, you know, they've won at Chelsea, and I think that Puel's teams like to play in that way where they wait for the opposition to attack.
Wolves
are exactly the same. And you could sort of get this kind of situation where they both just stand there and, you know...
Don't throw any punches.
Yeah, even at kickoff, you're wondering, you have the ball. No, you have it. I think Bolly's a miss as well for Wolves. I think his pace at the back gets them out of a few tricky situations. So a low scoring draw.
OK, Dan, what's your
view? Yeah, I'd agree with a lot of the sentiments there, especially about the way the two teams play. They're both counter-attacking teams. You look at their results, they've actually both got more points away from home than they have at home. Now that tells you a lot, I feel. If this fixture at the moment was being played at Leicester, I would probably go for Wolves because of the way the prices are on the value. And for the same kind of reason, I'm going to go for Leicester as a value bet here. I think they're better away from home the way they play. Wolves, the onus will be on them to control the ball and try and you know, pick a way through the Leicester defence. They tend to struggle to do that. Still not got a great deal up front. I just think Leicester, not just the away form, but the fact they've got these good results against big teams shows you their counter-attacking prowess. And I think they're a little bit overpriced here.
Home disadvantage, a new thing. Emmett, what's your view of this one?
I'd probably go the other way. As Dan said, both these sides are better away from home. But I kind of feel just Wolves should be a bit shorter here. I think like Puel's obviously under huge pressure, and he's been in these type of games where if they lost, then he possibly gets sacked, and then they've ended up winning. The Chelsea away game being kind of a classic example of that. But I'm not sure he's all the players on side, especially Jamie Vardy, and I'd lean towards Wolves here.
Okay, if you're planning to hunker down at 3 o'clock and watch Soccer Saturday and have some bets, we've got loads of tips coming up for you in just a mo.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, welcome back. Let's spin through the 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon Premier League games, of which there are six, and we'll start with Bournemouth West Ham. Emmett, what's the latest from Paddy Power on this one?
Bournemouth 7-5, draw 5-2, West Ham 9-5.
Mark?
I'm going to go for Bournemouth. They've only won two of their last 12, but I thought they played really well actually against Everton. Callum Wilson wasn't playing. They said he was ill, so I'm assuming he'll be back and it wasn't some January-itis, you know, that you sometimes get with players that want to leave. West Ham, I do like them, but they've disappointed. Burnley and Brighton, when you fancy them to win, they lost both of those games, Bournemouth.
Okay, Dan?
West Ham, for me, I do agree that Bournemouth played very well at Everton and were unlucky. I mean, 2-0 was a ridiculous scoreline. But if you look for their last 12 games, they got 7 points. And, yeah, they've had a bad run there for a long time. West Ham, in the same 12 games, got 23 points. So they've been convincingly going the right way. Bournemouth going the wrong way. West Ham for me.
This kid Brooks continues to impress Dan,
Brooks is, I mean, he's destined for, I would say, a big six club.
Lovely player. Emmett, what's your view?
Yeah, just as you mentioned, David Brooks, he was going to be my tip at 17-2 to score first. I think he missed a great chance last week against Everton 0-0, but he tends to pick up very good positions in the box. Sometimes his finishing hasn't been the best, but he'd be the way I'd lean here. I think there's a good chance he'll play as a number 10 in this game.
Okay, Palace go to Liverpool with number 3 choice goalkeeper Julian Speroni, who's 40 in May between the sticks because Hennessy and Gaiata are injured. So Liverpool hot favourites. What's the latest betting, Emmett?
Liverpool 1-6, draw 6-1, Palace 14-1.
Brace. Mark?
First of all, I think Brooks, maybe when Eriksen goes to Real Madrid, might be the one for Spurs. Yeah, I'm going to go for Liverpool to win 2-0. They've won every game they've played against the non-big six so far this season. 12 of those 15 were 2-0. Now, I know Palace shocked Man City, but that, you know, there was a penalty and an absolute worldie in that.
Okay, and what price is that, roughly?
Is it a working man's price?
Yeah,
it's definitely a working man's price. I mean, I didn't see what... I'm not sure Paddy Power are best. I think it was around about the sort of 8 to 11, Mark.
Lovely, that'll do.
5 to 6.
Paddy. 5 to 6.
So maybe you are best.
Great. Dan?
Everything's got its price. I just think that... I think Liverpool are too short. I look at the last few games, you know, the City game, I know the Wolves game rested players, had some injuries. The Brighton game, okay, it's a tight game, they've won it with a penalty. I'm not sure they're actually playing that well and that smoothly at the moment.
Apparently that's the sign of champions, according to all those.
Yeah, I mean, it's a load of tosh in my view. If you're either playing well or you're not, and I don't think they are playing that well at the moment. Matip could be coming back in, but to be honest, when I've seen him play this season, I've not been that impressed with him. I watched the game at Burnley, I think Burnley gave him a lot of problems. So I think Palace, I've watched them a lot against the big teams. A lot of them have been live on television, and I think they've played well in a lot of these big games. Chelsea away, they were 1-1 and got done when Hazard came on and it turned into a 3-1. Man United played very boldly in that game, could have won it and ended up with a draw. Man City, they won. I just think they're... You know, they are a sort of team. They do go for it in these games. They've got the counter-attack threat, obviously, with Zaha.
Benteke's back.
Benteke back, you know, against... I mean, he needs a bit to prove, isn't he? But I just think everything's got its price. I think they're a bit overpriced to draw the game.
Love you, Dan. And Emmett?
I tend to agree with Mark here. Palace are definitely a much more dangerous proposition away from home, as has been the case throughout the Hodgson era. But... Like with Speroni there, and I wouldn't fancy Tompkins and their defence against Liverpool to keep them out. Liverpool have only conceded 3 goals at home all year, and two of those came against United and Arsenal. So I think 5-6 represents decent value.
What's your problem with Tompkins? He's been brilliant this season, Emmett.
Yeah, I've never really liked him, to be honest, since he ever since he played for West Ham.
Honestly, I never thought of him as a superstar at West Ham by any means. But he's been really, him and Sacco at Exham, really, really good. But I dare say you and Mark are right. But I appreciate the sentiment, Dan. Man United, Brighton, Emmett, what's the latest?
Man United 1-4, draw 9-2, Brighton 10-1.
Lango,
yeah, 9-2, Rashford each way to score first. I think we spoke about the. Earlier on about sort of the attacking intent and Rashford benefiting mainly from that. And his 9 games, he scored in 6 of those matches. So he's somebody that's right on top of his game. Brilliant finish against Spurs, and also seems to be on free kicks as well around the penalty box. And Brighton, just away from home, they disappoint me more often than not.
Okay, Dan.
I think United will win, but I think it might be tight. I think Brighton, and often in these games against the big sides, defend quite well and they're hard to break down for long periods. I just think it'll be a low-scoring United win. I go United 1-0 at 6-1.
And Man U fan Emmett.
I'd probably look at both teams to score here at evens. I think this probably should be odds on. United, as Dan mentioned earlier, have been very shaky defensively, and no matter who the manager is, those issues are hard to solve. They're especially vulnerable from set pieces, and Brighton are a huge threat there with Shane Duffy and Lewis Dunk. There's some 18-1 around about Shane Duffy to score any time as well, which is worth chancing.
Blimey, that sounds big. Do you get across there much, Emmett?
Not lately. It was hard to be enthusiastic, to be honest.
When they're playing well, isn't
it? Correct. I bet you haven't. Yeah, Emmett, I've got a ticket Saturday. Do you want to come? Oh no, I've got to work.
No, I'd be keen to go over, but definitely before the end of the season.
Lovely stuff. Okay, Newcastle Cardiff next, relegation battle. Latest prices, Emmett.
We've Newcastle 10-11, draw 9-4, Cardiff 16-5.
Fancy Newcastle at odds on, Mark?
No, not after the injuries they picked up against Blackburn. No, I thought they were a couple of problems there. I think no goal scorers are a big runner in this one. It was copped in the reverse fixture. They've both had 4 nil-nils each. Dan mentioned earlier that Cardiff seem to be playing for that against Huddersfield. I think they'll adopt the same approach at Newcastle. Have Newcastle got the quality to break anybody down, even Cardiff? I've got my doubts.
Do you make this favourite to be last one on Match of the Day, Dan?
Good chance, yeah. I do think Newcastle will win the game, actually. I thought they played okay in the last league game at Chelsea. It was a tight-ish game that they lost 2-1. I don't rate Cardiff at all. I know I've said that I think both teams could go down. I think Newcastle have got a much better chance of staying up than Cardiff. I think Newcastle are the better side. I'll take them.
And Emmett?
I'd go for the draw here. It's good to have the 0-0 on side, as Mark said. But it's hard to have confidence in either team. Cardiff had 0.12 expected goals at home to Huddersfield, which is just horrendous, really. And Umar Niasse might start up top, which he's obviously not great, but he might be a bit of an improvement over Patterson. But I'd go for the draw here.
Okay, Southampton, Everton. How do you bet here, Emmett?
Southampton 13-8, the draw 23-10, and Everton 13-8.
This is a tough one, Mark. I thought Everton absolutely stunk the place out. They won 2-0, but I thought they were really, really average against Bournemouth.
I had Southampton down on the list, but the fact that they went to penalties on Wednesday and Everton have had a free week, I think, is a problem. Long appeared to go off carrying an injury as well. They've got problems up front anyway, so that just sort of moved me away from the 90-minute market. I mentioned Redmond last week, didn't score against Leicester, but then did score on Wednesday night against Derby. Missed a penalty, so he still has got a bit of work to do in the box, but he's 10-1 first goal. He's got 5 in 7, and this was a player that people were raving about when he was sort of England under 21. Completely lost his way. 1 goal in 56 matches at one stage under various Southampton managers. Arsenal's getting a tune out of him. I think 10-1's pretty big, given that Everton are giving up chances in every game.
Okay, Dan.
I'm going to go with Everton. I agree they were very, very lucky against Bournemouth. I just think it was a game that with the run they've been on, the pressure on Silva, they just needed to win it whichever way. I think they'll be better for it. They have got goals in the side. Sigurdsson and Richarlison, are fairly high up there on the top scorers list. Southampton, I think Ings has been out for a while, unlikely to return. So they haven't got that goal threat. I'll just narrowly go towards Everton.
And finally, Watford-Burnley. Oh, no, we haven't got Emmett yet. Sorry, Emmett. Southampton-Everton.
I'd certainly agree with Mark about Redmond. He looked very sharp when he came on in the cup there during the week. But I'd go for even with Southampton's striker problems. I like over 2.5 here. It's clicked in five of Southampton's last six games, and they're a very attacking team under Hasenhüttl. And Everton were very fortunate not to concede against Bournemouth, and I don't trust Zouma and Keane at the back there.
Okay, and finally we got Watford Burnley.
Watford 8-13, the draw 11-4, Burnley 4-1.
What do you think, Mark?
Watford pretty solid for the accumulators. Burnley, of course, have been on a decent run of wins lately. And the West Ham performance was pretty good, but some of the others, I mean, they barely created a chance against Barnsley. Then they, of course, beat Fulham, by not having a shot on target and still won 2-1. Watford are a really good top 10 team this season, fighting out for that seventh spot. On the garden they call it the Everton Cup, but I mean, it's a realistic chance for them, and I think that they are runners for the FA Cup as well. So yeah, Watford.
Oh, do they call it that on the Guardian podcast?
Yeah. Sorry.
Right, come here with your hipster Guardianista way of doing things. This is Racing Post.
I told them about my food diet, and
I heard that. They couldn't believe it.
They really can't. I've had concerned readers or listeners sort of getting in touch. The Racing Post one seem to think it's. They seem to sort of share my sort of love of meat.
Whereas it was brilliant.
The Guardian one
of all the companies to go on their podcast and say you haven't eaten a vegetable in about a month or a piece of fruit in 6 weeks. The Guardian. Christ! If you go 2 hours without a lentil, they call the doctor, don't they?
Yeah. It's
brilliant. Okay, Dan. Watford versus Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, I think Watford will probably win this game. I don't think I'll be rushing to go piling an 8-13. Just the fact Burnley have won. Three games, I think it is, in a row now.
How did Burnley accumulate points? Whenever I have seen them, they have always looked like just a bang average championship side.
And I think they are a poor side. And I think I mentioned earlier about the relegation. I still wouldn't be totally surprised if they ended up, going in the bottom three. I just think Watford will probably win. When I watch Watford, he's only got three goals this season, Gerard Deulofeu, but he has a lot of chances.
He hit the beans last week.
I just think it's a bit of an anomaly at the moment. His goal tally. I think he'll get quite a few more before the end of the season. He's 6-1 to score the first goal. I think that's overpriced.
I'll tell you what impresses me about Watford. They've just got a goal threat from so many different areas. Yeah. They can score in a lot of different ways. They're a good side. They're a very dangerous, underrated side. Emmett, will you be siding with Watford, or do you think Burnley can keep accumulating points in that mysterious fashion of theirs?
I'm very impressed with Watford, and it's like... in Javier Gracia, they might actually have a manager who could last beyond the end of the season, and they could possibly grow with him, which they haven't really done since they came up to the Premier League. But having said that, they only have two clean sheets at home all year, and Burnley should come here full of confidence after the three wins on the bounce. So I'd go with both teams to score here at 17-20.
Smashing! We've got a great Saturday evening fixture on the box. It's on BT Sport, and it kicks off at 5:30 at the Emirates. It's Arsenal versus Chelsea. Should be a cracker. What's the latest betting, Emmett?
Arsenal 15-8, the draw 5-2, Chelsea 13-10.
Now, Emmett, earlier on in the podcast, you were really scathing of the Arsenal defence, so we'll let you go first because I'm interested to know what you think of this one.
Yeah, I think Chelsea had their struggles this year, but it's hard not to see Hazard, Pedro, Willian causing the Arsenal back three serious issues. It feels like Arsenal have kind of found their actual level, whereas they were overperforming earlier in the season. Even though, as I said, I haven't been that impressed with Jorginho this year, and I'd like to see Chelsea try midfield with Kovacic, Kante, and maybe someone like Loftus-Cheek or Barkley in front of them. But I can't trust Arsenal here. The Chelsea win price is a little bit skinny, I think, so I'd probably go for Chelsea to win, at both teams to score 3-1. It's hard to see Chelsea keeping Arsenal scoreless, but I think Chelsea should run amok on the counter-attack.
Excellent. Mark, what do you think of Jorginho? I mean, he loves a lateral pass, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But I mean, if you have a look at sort of deep possessions and sort of one that you carry the team forward, he's really high up in them stats. And that's what he's asked to do. You know, he hasn't got an assist, but that's not his job to get the assist. His job is to get the ball up the pitch, and then it's up to the forward players to do it. And I think Chelsea's problem has been that they haven't had the forward to do it, which is why when I spoke earlier about if Higuain comes, obviously, even if he's overrated, he's still better than what Chelsea got up front. I think with Morata completely just gone and confidence-wise and Giroud not fancied in this style of play. I think if you do fancy Chelsea, I think that way that Emmett mentioned with both teams to score would be the one. I think the Chelsea price is a little bit too tight for my liking. I'm going to play 2-2 on the correct score. Obviously, Arsenal have got big problems defensively, but they have got forward players, I think, that can hurt Chelsea as well. And Chelsea have struggled themselves with balls over the top and the pace. If you think back to the Son game, the reverse fixture was 3-2 and Arsenal created a lot of chances in that game and didn't take them. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. The one interesting thing for me is in terms of Hazard is he tends to play better away from home. His last goal in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge was September the 29th. So I think he enjoys playing on when Chelsea got a bit more space. So maybe that might be an avenue for your first goal scorers. But an interesting game. Arsenal, let's not forget, did beat Tottenham deservedly 4-2 and have drawn with Liverpool at home. So I don't think it's going to be a stroll for Chelsea. I just can't trust Arsenal to win the game.
Dan, what are your thoughts?
I think Arsenal have got a bit more firepower, but I agree with Mark that Chelsea are better defensively. So you put that together as well as Arsenal's strong home form. That only Man City and Liverpool have actually got a better home record this season. As Mark mentioned, the results, some decent results against big teams at home as well. I just think it's going to be a close game. I'd go with a draw here at 5-2. I mean, Arsenal's big worry is their defence. I conceded 15 goals more than Chelsea, which is obviously a big difference. But it is a tough place to go and get a win. So a draw for me.
Surely, if we can see that, like Emery can't play that high up the pitch against Chelsea, like if we can see it, surely Emery can see that as well and think, hold on, we need to rein it in a little bit and not, you know, expose ourselves. I mean,
do you think they get a little bit kind of bloody minded about it, a bit stubborn?
I think there is that. I think there's also a bit of not. Let's not confuse. Let's worry about ourselves. I think there's a lot now of, you know, we need to stamp our authority on the game, and this is our way of playing. And
there's pressure from their supporters to be offensive and
attacking
all the time.
There is.
Well.
I can't see them being quite as stupid as what they have been.
Okay, that's a tough test. The two Sunday games, we've got some fairly short price favourites and we'll see what the lads think about those next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, bgambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Powers. Emmett O'Keefe, we're looking ahead to the two live Premier League games on Sunday. First of all, 1:30 live on Sky Sports at the, what's it called now? The John Smiths, isn't it? It's Huddersfield, managerless Huddersfield against Manchester City. Very short Man City. What's the latest betting, Emmett?
Huddersfield 19-1, the draw 15-2, and Man City 1-8.
Mark, pardon my ignorance, who will be leading? It's Mark Hudson, isn't it? Ex-Palace stopper.
Yeah, it is Mark Hudson. Here you go, Mark. This might be easy. Yeah. I mean, imagine.
See what you like.
I mean, it could be his only ever game as a manager. If you think that maybe he just stays in the background, sort of coaching somewhere. Once Huddersfield sort out that them vacancy.
Who's fab for it these days?
Jan Stewart, the Borussia Dortmund reserves manager.
Dan was writing about that yesterday. So yeah, I mean, right. It looks like they're maybe going to sort of try and get Wagner Mark II, and it's probably the right thing to do, I suppose. I mean, Wagner did an unbelievable job. I mean, first getting them up, then keeping them up. Probably should have left in the summer. He'd taken Huddersfield, I think, as far as they could go. In terms of this game, I think he's got out at exactly the right time. I could see Man City maybe covering the sort of -2 handicap pretty comfortably. I was looking at 4-0, correct score as the way to go. I mean, they're just going to have sort of 70-odd% possession. Huddersfield have just got nothing up front. I think they do well in midfield. It's both boxes, and that's where you pay your money. That's where Man City are just miles better. And I wonder if this is like a record maybe for a home team's sort of
19-1.
I mean, it can't be far off it. But I think it is deserved. I mean, if Huddersfield were in the Championship with this team, you know, particularly with no Moy, I mean, where are they finishing? Probably not top six. Mm. I mean, they'd probably be. You know, I mean, would you, if they played Derby tomorrow, you'd probably fancy Derby on neutral venue to beat them, I would have thought. So, I think it's going to be as easy as the odds suggest. 4-0.
Mark, do you think City have put the little wobble behind them?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I quite fancy them actually in the title race to make up that 4-point deficit. I think this is just a game matter of how many they're going to win by. Really, I've gone for 3-0 correct score. A length of 2 could quite easily be 4-5. But Huddersfield generally haven't conceded lots of goals. I mean, they did ship 6 actually at City in the reverse fixture, but they normally do keep the score reasonably respectable. So I'll go for City to easy win, 3-0.
Just quickly, Mark Emmett says he thinks Liverpool will hang on. Dan just said that he thinks City will win the title. What do you think?
I think I'd probably just edge towards Liverpool. I mean, because 4 points isn't that big a lead, but you're asking Man City to win virtually every game, you know, and who's to say that they're going to do that? And particularly when the Champions League comes around, I just wonder this season, even though Pep Guardiola says differently, I just wonder if the Champions League is maybe a bigger deal to City than what it is Liverpool this time. You know, as a sort of historically, of course, Liverpool and European Cup, you know, it means a lot. But, you know, to win the Premier League, I think maybe City could get slightly distracted around about that sort of quarter-final, semi-final stage.
Short-term will be crucial, because if they go to like 7 points behind and then the Champions League kicks in, short-term's vital.
OK, Emmett, what do you think will happen when Huddersfield take on City?
Yeah, just I'd echo the lad's sentiments there. I definitely feel sympathy for David Wagner. He completely maxed out their ability. As the lad said, like, to even get them out of the Championship with that squad was a great achievement. For them to stay up last year was incredible as well, just given the players they have.
It was likeable as well, wasn't he, Emmett?
100%, yeah. And obviously sometimes they were very cautious against the bigger sides, but I liked their pressing style. But as Mark said, they just don't have enough in both boxes. But I'd be interested to see how Wagner goes when he goes to maybe, if he goes back to Germany or something like that. But here, you can't see Huddersfield competing here, and I think City minus, I'd go City minus two at 11-10.
Okay, so they've got win by three or more for that bet to cop, obviously. The other Premier League game, indeed, the final one of the weekend, 4 p.m. on Sunday at the Cottage. It's Fulham versus Tottenham. It's live on Sky Sports, and it's also they played for both clubs. So get your thinking caps on while Emmett gives us a show of betting.
Fulham 4-1, the draw 12-5, and Tottenham 8-11.
Okay, they played for both clubs.
There's loads. Danny Murphy, Steve Mulbrank, Bobby Zamora, Scott Parker.
Kamara. Dembele.
Dembele, Saha, Luis Saha played for both clubs.
They managed both clubs?
Davis, the right winger. Simon Davis.
He played for Fulham. Yeah,
I think he did. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean,
Did
Stephen Kelly maybe even play for Fulham? I can't even remember. Stephen Kelly. There's a lot here, Bruce.
Joel, they managed both. Clubs,
yeah, I think you probably get a team. Clint Dempsey.
Clint Dempsey.
I mean,
it's fertile, isn't it? This could be the most. I'd be disappointed, actually,
if like the next hour or so I couldn't actually come up with a really strong sort of 11 that they played for. Yeah. So.
What happens, by the way, after we record the podcast? We go out into the office, everyone says, oh, what was they played for both clubs? And then you just spend ages, oh, yeah, we should have said that one. Anyway, never mind that. Who's going to win? Dan Childs.
Spurs. I just think the market, the reaction has been over the top. I think they were 8-15 when the market opened. Now they're around 8-11, 4-5 a bit in places. You look at Spurs' record against the teams outside the big six this season in the league. 14 wins out of 16. They've had, in the league overall, 10 wins out of 12 away. I mean, these are really, really big statistics. And they're now playing a Fulham side. You know, they are second from bottom. They've had a three-game losing sequence since that kind of mini-revival they had, didn't they, around the Christmas and New Year period. And they're still not great at the back. I know they've had a couple of clean sheets. I just think Spurs, it's not as much of a disaster as a lot of people are making out at the moment. There's still plenty of goals in the side to take Spurs to win.
OK. Emmett?
Yeah, I'd echo Dan's sentiments there, I think, but it's very hard to trust Fulham. There was obviously two own goals, has some elements of bad luck, but there was, I think, the poor
one of them was going in anyway, to be fair. The first one would have gone in.
The first one was just that, like, Brian was kind of facing towards his own goal, which leads you to be more likely to kick the ball into your own goal, so I didn't think that was great. I think, like, Spurs squad has been obviously stretched, but I'd fancy him to go over the line here, especially if Lucas Moura plays. There's also some 7-2 around on Andre Schürrle to score any time, which is worth chancing. He obviously scored a brilliant goal last week, and he takes plenty of shots, so you get a run for your money there.
He does. He looks really old, doesn't he? He's got the oldest face in the Premier League, hasn't he? You know, he looks like a sort of wizened old kind of sailor or something, doesn't he?
I mean, I think he's been
goal we got. It's, you know, the goal at Burnley.
He's been watching Andros Townsend videos in terms of shot location a lot of the time. I mean, he definitely buys enough tickets.
He does buy a raffle ticket, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I'm going to go for a Tottenham win as well, Bruce. Actually, I think it's pretty. Drastic market reaction, really. I mean, I said to Dan, they were like 8-15 before they played Manchester United. Then they were 8-13 after they played Manchester United. I mean, I wonder what price they're going to go off. I mean, if this carries on, you might even be able to get to a bit of 5-6 or something. I mean, I just think that even without Harry Kane, we already knew that Son wasn't going to be playing in this game. So without Harry Kane, obviously, Tottenham have got less chance of winning, but they've still got Dele Alli, they've still got Christian Eriksen, still got Lamella, still even Llorente is somebody that actually in recent weeks has, I think, played really well. Got the hat-trick against Tranmere. He scored against West Ham when he was given a moment in that. He hasn't had too many. And I think actually in playing two or three matches could help him get a bit of rhythm going in his game. It must be quite difficult if you're just coming on for like 3 minutes here and there and your stats don't look good. You've played 9, scored none, but I mean your minutes is probably about 30. I still think Llorente is good enough to trouble a Fulham defence that is absolutely useless, really. And either it's improving, but still useless.
Mm. I think there's a lot of hype over the Harry Kane being out that overly affects the market. A lot of Spurs fans would argue that somebody like, say, Christian Eriksen is equally as important to the side. Now, he was out for, you know, missing a lot of games earlier in the season, and the Spurs price wasn't anywhere near affected as much. And a lot of people would argue that he is actually just as important.
OK, professional odds compiler Emma O'Keefe. What's your assessment of what the market might do between now and kickoff there?
I see the Tottenham price shortening a bit. Like it depends on whether Moura or Sissoko are fit. I would say if both of them are out, I could see maybe Oliver Skip playing midfield for Spurs, and like obviously he's a completely unknown player. So that could see them potentially go to 10, maybe 5-6, 10-11.
But I think again,
it depends a lot on team news.
They obviously unexpected goals. Tottenham, even though they lost to United, in terms of, you know, it was one of the few games this season when actually it hasn't fallen for them. They're a team that seems to be overachieving quite a lot on expected goals. I think they drifted to about 6-5 against Manchester United. So I think the market is sort of slightly against them. And there was a big move for Chelsea in the League Cup against Tottenham, sort of whenever that was, that first leg. So I think there is a bit of a negative just generally about Spurs in the market at the moment, even before the Kane stuff, actually.
OK, lads, before we get the naps, any other teams you want to flag up, either lower down the divisions or right across the continent? Dan?
I'll flag up Blackburn at home to Ipswich in the Championship. I know they played the Cup game against Newcastle on Tuesday, went to extra time, they got knocked out. But Tuesday to Saturday, I think there's enough recovery time. I think the Bradley Dack came off the bench and arrested a few other important players. So they're going to be a full-strength team back to. And I just think Ipswich are such a poor side, told off at the bottom. They beat Rotherham last week 1-0. The shot stats were 18-3 in favour of Rotherham in that game. I mean, that's at home to Rotherham in the Championship. I've seen them a few times live this season. They're a really poor side. Blackburn caught quite a bit with Dak and Danny Graham, Armstrong going forward. All day for me, Blackburn to win that.
Anything from you, Mark?
I spy a bit of value in Leeds away at Stoke. I just think it's going to take Nathan Jones a bit of time to. I mean, it's a mishmash of squads from. From Mark Hughes to Gary Rowett, not a nice time to go in and then try and change the philosophy of the team. And I think at home, actually, when expectations are still pretty high, you know, it doesn't take much for that to turn. And Leeds are the best team in the Championship. They're going along very well at the moment. I also thought Tranmere may be a little bit overpriced against a Swindon team that were 2-0 down to 10-man Lincoln. It was only when they went down to 9 men that they managed to get the draw in that game. I mean, ordinarily speaking, you know, they could be walking into that game on a 2-0 defeat. And then in Italy, I thought Napoli to beat Lazio, just a shade of odds on, was pretty fair at home.
Mark, one of the things that might be tough for Nathan Jones, because he wasn't a stellar name, he wouldn't have been hanging out with Crouchy during his playing career.
No.
So he's going in there and he's taken over a struggling squad, but there's a lot of kind of big-time Charlies in there. There's a lot of big names, older players there. So he's got to win them over, hasn't he?
He has got to win them over. He's also got to win the fans over. I mean, I think when we sort of work in this environment that we do, sort of, we talk about Luton sort of quite a bit. And
we know that he's done a fantastic job,
yeah,
don't we?
Your regular Stoke fan doesn't know that, actually.
And that is
a hard thing for him to, you know, it's probably the hardest job he's got, actually. And then you lose the first two matches and it becomes even more difficult. But I just think that desperation to get the win isn't what you need to do. And, Rowett played a very, direct sort of way of playing, and Nathan Jones is completely different. So he is going to need time, and I think they've almost given up on this season now, and it's about what they do next year.
Okay, Emmett, don't tell us the net, but tell us any other teams you fancy.
I think probably Bayern Munich are worth a look, and maybe the -1 on the Asian handicap away to Hoffenheim. They've really kind of they hit form before the winter break, and I could see them continuing that on and chasing down Dortmund for the league.
Righto, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
I'm going to be very boring, but very confident. Watford 8-13 to beat Burnley. Mark Langdon.
Another odds on Premier League team, Tottenham. I think the drift has gone way too far against Fulham. They've won 10 of their 12 Premier League away matches. And even without Harry Kane, I expect Eriksen and Ali and Lamella to cause a lot of problems and win the game quite comfortably.
Dan Childs.
I'm going to go for an overpriced outsider. A little bit like last week, I've come up with Plymouth at Southend. This time I'm going to go even bigger price. Peterborough in the same division at Luton. I do like Luton, but there's just a few little signs with Nathan Jones going that the performances may be dipping a little bit. They lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup replay on Tuesday. There's a few problems with personnel. Well, Danny Hilton's suspended, one of the most important strikers. They've also, their performances of five games without a win since Glenn Ray, the holding midfielder, has been out long-term injury. I've noticed a dip in their performance. The other side of the coin, Peterborough, they've got Lee Tomlin back, who for that level is a bit of class, really, and you put him in the side. Madison, who's playing okay at the moment, is a match winner. Ivan Toney is scoring a lot of goals at the moment. They're not, sometimes it doesn't click for Peterborough, but they have got one of the best, second best away record in League One against the best home record, funny enough, Luton. I think the away record will win through here.
Never mind Bielsa, these boys are the ones who do the research. They're the ones who really know. Superb knowledge, lads. Mark, you look like you wanted to jump in there.
I was going to say that Luton have signed...
Your mortgage depends on Luton.
Luton have signed Fawn on loan from Derby.
He's a good player.
He's a really good player. He's lost his way because of injuries. And you mentioned earlier, anybody that could make an impact. I mean, if he stays fit, League One, I mean, he was being talked about as a Premier League player not that long ago. He's had a lot of injuries.
He's a very good championship player.
He's just had a lot of injuries. That's the problem.
And to complete the ACCA, what have you got, Emmett?
I like Hull, double chance here, 4-5. Hull are obviously playing very well at the moment. They've won their last six. And I think Villa should be a bit short on confidence here. They're really struggling defensively and coming off a 3-0 defeat to Wigan. I think it's hard to justify them being as short as they are.
Who was it who absolutely ripped Wigan Villa apart in the five things we learned? Was it you, Mark?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, it was a pathetic performance at Wigan.
Oh, back to
yeah,
right,
yeah, you know, no attempts on target. It was, Dean Smith said it was the lowest point in football or something like that. The honeymoon period well and truly over for him.
Okay, Hull double chance. Peterborough, Tottenham and Watford. Those are your naps, chaps. What's the weekend hold, Mark? Are you going to get out and about, get the sheepskin on?
A really good game in League Two. Colchester against Mansfield. Two teams riding right high. My wife is also on my sister's hen weekend. So I've
got Where's that?
It's in Liverpool. So from like Friday morning till sort of Sunday afternoon. So I've got a bit of childcare for why I go to Colchester on Saturday, but it's me, a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. It's going to be tense.
Those are the hard yards, aren't
they? They are, yeah. It's going to be tough.
You might go to the press conference just to elongate that.
I will,
trip.
Yeah.
You don't normally go to the presser, do you?
I've got to try and... I mean, Arsenal-Chelsea's at 5:30. I think I can probably get home for around about that time and maybe get Pizza Hut delivered as well. And I kill about four birds with one stone.
Good work. You got it all sussed out. Dan, what are you doing this weekend?
Taking with you, Mark. That's what I am. Taking just Joseph. I'll be taking Emily soon. She turned three on Monday, so I promised I'll take her to her first game this season.
Burnley? You're going Watford Burnley? That'll put her off forever.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking her to that one. I'll wait
Christ
till...
Dad, this is shit.
Well, Joseph's first game was, I think it was a 1-0 loss at the Wolves in the Championship. It was a dire game, and he still loved it.
Oh, lovely. So you'll be at Vicarage Road.
Yeah.
Emmett, what will you be doing? It's always work whenever I ask you what your weekend plans are.
I've a couple of days off, Friday, Saturday, so I should get a decent chance to watch the football. I'm on... Like many people in Britain and Ireland, I'm on the New Year's resolution gym buzz as well, so I'll try to do that as well.
Are you doing dry January?
Dry-ish, anyway.
Dry-ish January?
I thought somebody'd say, that just means drink more Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, yeah, quite, yeah. Dry cider, dry white wine, etc. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Let me quickly tell you about some upcoming postcards. We've got Dave Orton hosting the lads for the weekend racing tomorrow. On Monday, Maddie will be back to review the weekend racing. We've got Cheltenham Anti-Post on Tuesday. We've got golf on Wednesday. And we've got football back here next Thursday. So hopefully you can join us for some of them.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.